Super. Thanks, Sue. Over to you. You need to unmute yourself. Great.
Yeah, no, good. Oh, well, thank you very much, Trevor. Yes, and I've got a few thoughts to share, mostly about John the Baptist and also Jesus, thankfully, because Jesus is the reason for the season. So sometimes in thinking about Advent, we're looking forward to the birth of Jesus, to celebrate the birth of Jesus. So in some Advent sort of church programs, there are various sort of focuses on like the prophets and John the Baptist and Mary as they all waited for Jesus to arrive. So I'm thinking about John the Baptist for a few minutes. I do have something to share on screen, but to be honest, it's only a bunch of scriptures. And I think if I send it to Louise, she can send it round to you so you can do your own little study on John the Baptist. John the Baptist, you know, as you might remember from your reading scripture, you know, you might remember that he wore a camel's hair clothing and ate wild honey and locusts for his dinner. So I think this is pretty much non-conformism, really. When I was about 16, living in Ipswich, my good friend at school, we used to do Bible studies together, and there was a little group of us that did Bible studies. And I can remember this friend's mother saying to the two of us, "You are original nonconformists." And I'm thinking, "What? Oh, am I a nonconformist?" Anyway, so it turns out that maybe I have been a bit of a nonconformist at times, and certainly my friend was, because she ended up becoming an Indian meditation guru teacher. Be completely nonconformist, but not as nonconformist as John the Baptist. And I wouldn't ever put myself in the same category as John the Baptist, because Jesus said about him, I think it was in Luke's gospel, that actually of anybody born from a woman, which is most of us, actually, he was the greatest. And yet Jesus said, "And yet the least in the kingdom is greater than he," which just goes to show what an upside down kingdom, you know, we have. And so if we think about John the Baptist, I'm just going to talk a little bit about him for a few minutes. And so you might remember the prophecy about John the Baptist, where the angel speaks to Zechariah in the Gospel of Luke. The angel says that John the Baptist is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth, absolutely from birth. And then you might remember too that later, also in Luke, later on in that chapter, when Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. So Mary is expecting Jesus by then. She goes to see Elizabeth, who's further on in her pregnancy, and Elizabeth, the baby in Elizabeth's womb, leaps at the entrance of Mary into the room, which I suppose you might sort of say, well, there's something there where that little baby in the womb, John the Baptist, is recognizing the presence of Jesus already, and he hasn't even physically met him yet. You know, and I mean, and they're second cousins, actually, so they're sort of related. Also the people said that when John was born, they talked to each other and they said, "Wow, what's going to become of this child?" You know, because the hand of the Lord is on him. And there was just that sense of expectancy. And then if you look in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, this is where Jesus is walking along and John sees him from afar, and he goes, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And he goes on to say that he recognizes Jesus to be the Son of God. And I just want to quickly read that one verse. John 1 verse 29, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and declared, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then later on he says, I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. So there's John the Baptist. He takes one look at Jesus in the distance and he says, this is the Son of God. This is the Messiah. He also says in that passage, he references the baptism, and he said, at the baptism where he baptized Jesus, he saw the Holy Spirit come down. Now, did everybody see the Holy Spirit come down on Jesus? We don't know. We know it happened. It came down like a dove on Jesus. But did the other people recognize Jesus? I don't know. It doesn't say so. But John the Baptist recognized Jesus. And he recognized that the Holy Spirit was on Jesus in a very powerful way. Without any teaching, without any Bible college, without anything. It was just the Spirit within John recognized the Holy Spirit in and on Jesus. And I think that's absolutely amazing. Later on, the story that actually John confronted publicly Herod, because he'd married his brother's wife who got divorced from his other Herod Philip, and confronted him for marrying Herodias, and that's why Herod put him in prison, you know, and then had him beheaded. And from prison, John the Baptist, again, because Jesus's ministry was beginning, and John was saying, okay, so are you the Messiah? Wasn't quite sure at that point, needed confirmation because he'd been out of the picture. And it was like John's ministry began to decrease and Jesus's ministry began to increase. You know, and John's ministry was one of preaching repentance. And repentance had to do with, you know, if you repent, don't cheat on people. If you repent, be generous and feed the poor. If you repent, don't extort and practice corruption. And so repentance had to do with behavior. There was a Paula Gooder in her book, The Meaning is in the Waiting, says that John preached a repentance and reorientation. And the quote is, she says, the repentance and the reorientation called for by John requires moving ourselves out of the center of our lives so that there is room for Jesus. So that's what John's preaching. He's preaching repentance in order to prepare us to recognize and to welcome Jesus in our lives. And I think that's part of Advent as we begin to think about Jesus being born. It's a wonderful story, and we're going to have great fun next week, you know, with various shepherds and all kinds of peculiar people doing strange things on the video. Not to miss it. Do not miss it. It's going to be a great video, you know, and we're looking forward to welcoming baby Jesus in all his humility. But who is this Jesus? And do we recognize him for who he is, like John the Baptist did? And even Jesus, you know, when John was still was baptizing, there's a little scripture in John 4 where it says, when Jesus knew that John was baptizing in this area, but Jesus was actually making more disciples than John was, you'd think that maybe Jesus would say, come on then, get out of the way, it's my turn now. You know, I'm the Messiah after all, John, you're just the witness, you get out of the way. But Jesus didn't do that. When he saw that he was making more disciples than John, Jesus left the area to wait for John's ministry to come to its natural conclusion. Well, unnatural as it happened, but in the scheme of God, that John's ministry would come to its fulfillment. And John himself said in John chapter 3, where he talked about Jesus, he said, Jesus, he must increase and I must decrease. You know, so the coming of Jesus is about Jesus being the center of our lives, not ourselves. Just like John the Baptist, do I have the attitude that John the Baptist had? Jesus must increase in my life and I must decrease. I don't think I do. In fact, this last week, I know I haven't. And, you know, one or two of you have seen my frustrations this week. And I haven't totally put Jesus first in my attitudes. I've had to repent of that and apologize. But you know what? In my heart, I want to make Jesus the center this Christmas, not anybody else. I'm running along quickly because I want to finish with a really important scripture. So after that, then John is beheaded by Herod. And right after that, this is in the Matthew scripture, Matthew 14. It says that John, when Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been murdered, he went to a quiet place on his own and prayed. You know, and you could maybe think there that that was his relative. It was somebody that Jesus had honored in public and said, there's nobody like John the Baptist, you know, born of woman. And now he's been killed. And, you know, I reckon Jesus was sad. I reckon he went to grieve. He went to just be with the Lord. But you know what happened? The people came after him. And that's when the feeding of the 5,000 happened. So this huge, great miracle happened right after the death of John the Baptist. When Jesus goes away because he wants to be quiet on his own and think about things and pray. But the people are all around him and, oh, how are we going to feed the people? And then he does the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And, you know, and Jesus's ministry, when John was questioning Jesus's ministry, Jesus said to John's disciples, tell John, tell what you see, you know, the blind see, the dead are raised, you know, the lame walk. The deaf hear, you know, the kingdom is coming. Miracles are happening. God's at work. Tell John. And then it wasn't long after that that John was killed, went to heaven. So there's John the Baptist, this nonconformist that going around with camel hair clothing and eating wild honey and locusts in the wilderness. I don't know if he ate it when he came to town, but there we go. He might have done. Looked a bit funny, maybe, like Gandhi did when walking around the streets of India with only a little cloth on. I don't know. Not that I'm comparing the two exactly, but John went to heaven and, you know, he was the forerunner. He was the last Old Testament prophet in a way. He was the link between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And he knew who Jesus was. You know, and he was filled with the Spirit. Do I know who Jesus is? And so I'm going to finish by reading this scripture and then ask you a reflection question. And I'll send the list of scriptures for your own study. So this is the scripture I want to leave with you. And then I have a couple of questions to ask you for reflection as we move into the last 2 weeks before Christmas. The Gospel according to John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become the children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived amongst us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness have we've all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." And there's Jesus. He's close to the Father's heart. And there was a time in my life when I was about 11 or 12 years old, when I knew in my spirit, I knew in my heart that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus is the Son of God. And that has stayed with me ever since. C.S. Lewis talks about, you know, going to Whipsnade Zoo one day, and before he went to Whipsnade Zoo on this journey, he didn't believe Jesus was the Son of God. And when he got there, he did. And that was the beginning of his conversion. And I think once you've seen something, you can't unsee it. And I've seen that Jesus is the Son of God and that he's my Lord and Savior, just like John the Baptist. And my question for you this week is, in what ways do you need to see Jesus more in your current circumstances? And when you ask God for grace, because Jesus said, you know, grace and truth came, and from his fullness we've all received grace upon grace. What kind of grace do you need right now? What do you need grace for? So the two questions. What do you need to see about Jesus? And what kind of grace do you need? Amen.
Thanks, Sue. Fabulous. Thank you for drawing us into that story and really helping us apply it, particularly.